Steel Plaza. Please stand clear of the doors.
Steel Plaza Podcast, 303 East Main Street, right here in Carnegie, from Sound Color Studios. Kicking off, back again, number one in what?
Comedy and music.
And featuring what? Only
local businesses and musicians and comedians.
That is correct. And joining us today, my good friend Michael Averbach.
It's great to be here.
All right, and Jordan.
A little early for me, but glad to be out.
All right, and Jenna Sivak.
Good morning,
guys.
And greetings.
This is great.
Cool.
The first show, new season, and
yes.
Actually, the first show where we have just a guy I know doesn't really do anything, right?
That's right.
Big fan of the show, Michael. How do we know each other?
years ago, we were in the same military unit.
Well, I think we are still in the same overall blanket unit, you know.
We are. You transferred to another unit. I'm still in the same one.
Did you get promoted?
I did. Sergeant.
Ooh, not staff sergeant?
No, just E5.
So you leveled up.
Yes. I'm at the maximum rank I'll ever be for the rest of my military career.
Is that where the glass ceiling is at sergeant?
No, for me it is.
Okay.
Not for other soldiers.
Okay.
How much longer is your military career?
I have 13 more years to go.
Okay.
Until I get my military pension.
Mm.
And then, so this doesn't do me any good to get out before the military pension starts.
Oh, yeah.
Because we still get free coffee.
That's right.
I use the military ID like food stamps. I do.
Yeah.
How do we know each other? Did I tell you that story? Some guy came up to me. I was outside on a break, and he said, "Hey, man, how do I know you?"
Oh.
And, like, this guy I've never seen before in my life. And just, like, think about what a psychotic thing to say to somebody. Like, how would I know how you know me? Like, and you're just, like, going through every place you've worked, every scenario.
Yes, that happens to me all of the time. All of the time. And I go through my entire resume, like all the places I've ever worked, all the things I've ever done, and they still, every time they're like, nope, 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 it's not that, it's not that, it's not that.
So you can cut that conversation out really quickly and just say, have you ever been to prison? They're like, nope, don't know you. And it's done.
That's smart.
Yes.
I need to do that.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for solving that problem.
Like, I'm not sure. Are you a member of PETO and Aspido.net?
Yes.
You a registered member there?
Exactly.
No.
It is crazy, though. It's like the equivalent of asking someone to look for your keys for you. You know, like, how would I know how you know me? Didn't someone, Jordan, at a set a few nights ago ask you to play songs that they know?
No, it's okay. I mean, that stuff happens kind of, not all the time. It happens less and less the longer I've been doing this. But, we were playing at the Carnegie Museum of Art last Thursday night. And a young man walks up to me and asks me to play a song that he knows the words to.
Skrillex. Play me some Skrillex.
Yeah.
Did you say narrow it down to five songs?
I said the music's loud. I'm like, what? How the fuck would I know what you know the words to? And then he kind of just sit there and like, looked around like he wanted to be aggressive because I swore and I said so in like kind of an aggressive way. He wanted to retaliate, but hey, I think he realized my logic just completely.
So was he trying to get on stage to sing? Was that his
his
end goal, or was he just like, I know this song and I want to be the only person that knows?
No,
this
I'm
song.
A for lack of a better term, DJ, but it's really nothing like that at all because I don't play requests, I don't play anyone's songs, I don't play anything in its entirety, everything's always like chopped and mixed with something else. But So I don't know why you would ever get the idea that I'd play anything in its entirety, but
and it's like, how do you be nice about that? Like, all right, let me start with Hall & Oates. Let's see, and then we'll go from there.
Oh,
let's go
like that. How me and Joe, the guy I play music with, go about producing our music. It's like it has to be live. Like I'm doing stuff constantly, so I have to break my focus to just be like how would I know like what you know the words to.
You have to mess with people and be like, just write down the lyrics for me, and then I would know the song.
Jenna, you have all the solutions. You have all the solutions.
I like messing with people very much.
I thought I'd handled it properly up until I heard that.
Jenna, is that why you got into comedy? Because you just like messing with people?
I like to see their reactions because, my dad always told me, he's like, you will be amazed when you grow up how stupid people are. And I was like, okay.
Wow. Yeah, it's a commodity.
Yeah, and he was, like, saying it in a nice, he's like, don't ever get frustrated with it. He's like, you're going to end up being an angry person if you get mad at, like, all the stupidity you'll face as an adult.
Great advice.
Wow! Yeah. You need your own podcast. I am already calmed by just, like, three things you've said so far today.
I would subscribe and tune in.
You're really good about everything right now. Thank you.
It's true, though. Common sense is such a rarity these days.
It's true.
It almost should be considered a superpower. You know what I mean? Or we could call it uncommon sense.
Do you, are you, because you work in an office, and I feel like, I feel like that's the place where the lack of common sense is most apparent.
Oh,
the office stories that I hear from people are mind-boggling. And Jordan, you kind of have like an office-y job now.
Oh, so does Michael. Michael works for the IRS.
Oh my gosh!
His job, both their jobs are way more office-y than mine.
If you guys need the file, he's here for the rest of the show.
Oh, I need so much help with my taxes.
Well, this is how it go. This is me, I'll say it better than this. This is me, IRS, my plain name, employer number, what station you're calling. I haven't got my refund. What tax year is your refund? Well, you should know. You're the IRS.
And I said, you should know.
And so I said, you answer my question, I'm going to hang up the call. Those two choices, what one do you want? And they say, okay, 2014. Then you say, what's your screen number? What's your name? What's your address? They say their street number and street name, no city, state, zip code. So I said, okay, what's the rest of your address? They say the street number, street name, no city, state, zip code. Then I said, so you have no city, state, zip code. You only have a street number and street name. Nothing else. Then they go, oh, I do. Well, what is it? Then they only get the zip code. No city and state.
Let me go look at the mailbox. Hold on a second. I don't know where I live.
Do you get the most angry people all the time?
Always. Yeah. Yes. And then you're talking to them in this volume of voice. I don't like the way you're talking to me. I want to talk to your supervisor. You're being rude to me.
Talking to the voice next time.
I'm sorry, I had a shitty voice, okay?
Even though I'm not yelling at them, I'm talking this volume of voice.
Use an accent.
No, you're yelling at me. I don't like the way you're talking to me.
I don't like the cut of your jib.
So I said, I'm not yelling at you. I can raise my voice if you want me to raise my voice, though.
Sir,
I'm not yelling.
You're taking an aggressive posture with me, with your calm and soothing timbre.
Yeah.
Something else that's really aggressive, people will often come up to comedians, has this ever happened to you, Jenna, and say, oh, you're a comedian? Well, tell me a joke.
Oh, tell me something funny. Or, you know what, I was thinking about this the other day, you should do this next time. I'm like,
How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? Do you carry your father's advice, or retaliate?
Depending on the, I'm usually like, that is just remarkable. I could have never thought of that. Thank you so much.
Put that in the suggestions box.
Oh, it's right here in my back pocket.
I'll tell my secretary to write that down.
Did you ever tell him, why don't you get on stage and see how funny you are? And then they bomb. They said, well, it's not so easy, is it?
No, because then I bomb, and then I'm like, well.
Did you ever get like a good suggestion? Like, you're like, whoa, that's actually pretty good.
Like, ooh, shit. I need to rethink my life.
The only thing I usually love is when my grandma will tell me stories. And I'm like, wow. I was like, I couldn't even like invent something that wonderful on stage. Like, she's just so weird. Like one Christmas we were sitting there just hanging out, and all of a sudden she's like, you know, I know how to yodel. We were like, what? What? Yeah.
Pass the cranberries.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, end statement. Okay. And it's like, there's no backstory to it. And I'm like, where, how? She's like, oh, these traveling salesmen came into my house when I was younger and they taught me how to yodel. I'm like, I don't.
Is she a gypsy?
Yeah,
what is
exactly.
going on here?
She's from Switzerland.
Are you sure she's human? She sounds like an angel fairy.
That's just how they used to do things in the pre 9/11 America. Yeah. Like, you know, traveling salesman would show up. You weren't on your phone texting anybody. Time to waste it.
That's right.
Teach me how to yodel.
You're like, how do I win these people over so that they'll buy it? I know. I'm going to give them a really obscure skill.
First they asked if you knew any jokes.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well.
This is like a long-term relationship. Oh. Like, they came back again and again.
Well,
this time we'll show you how to make a cuckoo clock out of a screwdriver.
Yeah. But then, you know, because we are laughing hysterically, and then I'm like, well, let me hear you. And she was like, no, I'm not going to do it now. And it took us like 6 months to finally convince her to show us that she could yodel.
You got
to
get that on film.
Oh, I have, yeah, I have a lot of videos of her on my phone.
You're going to, let's have Jenna back with your grandmother. Like, yeah. Like, you're great. You see, you're great. But we want your grandmother.
Yeah, I'm nothing. I'm just like a thin little thumbnail or pinky nail compared to what she talks about. Wow.
It's a whole show on yodeling.
Yes.
Door-to-door sales, yodeling, wood carving.
Anything she wants, really.
Anything.
Anything she wants.
Oh, God.
Must have been, like, so easy back then with no social media, you know,
right.
Just to go out into the forest. I mean...
To the forest?
The forest,
the
I
forest?
Guess. Or
That's
whatever.
Where, okay.
I mean, just to meet somebody, you just, literally walk outside of your house and walk down the street and say hi.
You make eye contact
yeah,
with people.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, you're my wife now. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Grab her by the hand. Where are we going? For the rest of your life. You know?
That escalated quickly.
Yeah. I'm just talking about simpler times.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Not saying it was perfect. I'm saying it worked.
Woman ownership.
I'm saying it worked.
Saying. Dipping into your subconscious here away.
Mm. I'm just saying things are so much different without the social media. And
yeah, you can't own women.
You can't.
Yeah, it's not really how I pictured the 1800s.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, I'm black.
Yeah.
That's not really where my mind goes for that time period.
But, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I was watching too much History Channel. I don't know.
What History Channel is this?
Well, I watch History Channel, you know, high on, you know.
Benadryl
is
Benadryl
great.
Benadryl and Chardonnay is okay. A really good go-to.
Yeah.
You know, street legal.
Like you have a... Kind of a not so good Saturday night. You wake up Sunday morning, Benadryl, half a can of PBR History Channel.
And
you're good.
Pass out.
Is
you're
the History
the
Channel completely made up now? Like,
it is.
It's just really.
It is. And that's where I got my information from.
Okay. You know? Okay. This is all making a lot more sense.
Yeah.
But it is true. Like your dating life was like, oh, he lives down the street. That'll do. You know, like,
sure.
You didn't know there were more options.
No, he's
true.
Like,
it's true.
It. He's
yeah.
a wood splitter. You
yeah.
know?
He's a
splits
wood splitter.
Wood all day.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a wood splitter. I love him.
Steady work.
He
yeah.
looks strong. Yes. Exactly.
He's a wood split. I'm just sitting here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even learning how to yodel right now. I might as well get married.
Well, if you have childbearing hips and the wood splitter wants... At least 9 children for his wood splitting farm.
Of course.
See, now we're in the wrong generation. Yeah.
I want that time.
Yeah.
We'll bring
I want
it back.
To be
we'll
respected for my childbearing hips.
Right.
She's
going to give me babies.
Oh,
strong babies.
Man, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Less to worry about.
All right. More yodeling, wood splitting, and wife ownership right back after this.
We'll be right back.
Steel Plaza Podcast, 303 East Main Street, right here in Carnegie Sound Color Studios.
We are here today. We have been graced with the presence of Jordan Taylor, who is one half of the duo that makes up Traxploitation. They are something completely different, such that I cannot do it justice by describing it. So how would you describe what you do with Traxploitation?
For lack of a better term, we're mashup DJs, but that's such like a weird connotation to me. Mm-hmm. For it. We're more like just, it sounds pretentious, but I would say we're more like live electronic composers. And, yeah, it just sounds like I should be like...
No, you are composers.
Getting my glass as well, I say that.
Absolutely are.
A monocle, because you're wearing a top hat.
Actually, yeah. We use Ableton Live. Yeah, it's this... we use Pacific Audio software, Ableton Live, that allows us to take samples from songs from all different types of genres. Joe and I are into like a lot of different type of music. Really don't mess around with modern pop or hip hop. That's I can't say everything because there's some really good dance stuff out, but you know, pretty much anything pop is really not of our business. We figured there's enough DJs out there playing top 40 stuff in its entirety, so we'll be the guys that will. So let me go back. So we have all these different samples from all different types of genres of music, and we'll just mix those samples in together. So, for example, you know, and we do it improv. We don't plan out anything. So I'll hit a button, and it's playing like an 80s, like old school breakbeat, and maybe Joe's listening to that breakbeat, and he thinks that this random sample from some Aretha Franklin B-side goes really good with that breakbeat. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, that's in D minor. So is this guitar solo from some Iron Maiden song. And then I'll just take a specific part of that and juggle the beat or, you know, just do something interesting with
it.
It's
like you guys are painting with music.
Yeah. It's like all night throughout the whole set. And then JoJo is... we both scratch, but JoJo's like a world-class turntablist.
Yes.
Like, if there's any turntablists listening, like I'm sorry, you can't scratch better than my man Joe.
So how did you start doing this?
Back in 2009, I just got back from what I thought was going to be the career for the rest of my life. Professionally, I do audiovisual stuff, mm-hmm. and I was an AV tech for Carnival Cruise Lines for a while. And I absolutely hated it.
I was going to say that had to be brutal.
Was that the cruise line where everybody had to like take shits in bags or whatever?
not on my ship that didn't happen. Or
something
so,
happened.
I used the
Do
toilet.
You remember that?
No. I remember that was
remember?
At sea. Yes.
Yeah. What happened where...
They got sick.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody got sick or they ran out of fuel or something. They couldn't get the... Or there was a...
Engine problem.
Storm? No, I'm just making all this
Jordan's
shit.
Problems with the cruise lines were much more existential than that.
Oh, yeah, I wish that would have happened. That would have been great.
Yeah, it was like something happened. They ran out of something or other, and like everybody had to take shits in bags and like Mickey Mouse heads and everything else. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the
that's like the facilities
of cruises. Had a problem. Like the toilets had a problem on the ship. That's why I kept backing up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Back to Jordan's magical music making, please.
Yeah, those two things aren't related.
No. Let's see. So instead of taking shits in Mickey Mouse heads, I realized that I didn't want to work such a corporate job, and that I'm undeniably an artist, and if I'm not living that, then I'm selling myself short, and those that know me short too. So. I got back and, JoJo, who's always been a dear friend of mine, we met in college, he was, DJing at, like with, a different group of guys and, you know, it was just kind of just ho-hum for him. So we started researching this stuff, teaching ourselves how to, you know, make music using Ableton Live and MIDI controllers and how to go about it in a unique way. So that was back in 2009, and here we are, 2017.
So you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah. We've been playing. Yeah, we've been tracking Traxploitation for about 9 years now. It's at a point where I really couldn't think of my life without it. And we've been doing it for so long now. Like people will come up to me at like venues or like a bar or something and be like, oh, hey, I went to a show. I saw you play when I was in high school and now I'm doing this. You smoked the joint with me and told me to follow my dreams and now I'm doing this. I was like, what? Wait. So like, I just turned around and like, we're veterans and like gurus in this kind of, again, let me say that while dusting off my moniker.
Do you guys like get together and practice?
Yeah, so every Thursday, Joe and I practice, but it's not like, we don't practice like doing anything we would do out. We've been producing lately. Last November, we put out our first EP, six all original songs. I have copies for you guys. They're really cool. Here,
nice.
Oh,
I'm gonna give them to you now because it's gonna blow your guys' mind.
Wow.
I
just so everyone in audio land can know, Jordan just took out an old-timey suitcase and is opening it up, and light is bursting out of it.
Yeah, it's like a
so
traveling salesman.
So here you go.
I think I'm going to yodel soon.
Well, I'm joking. There you go.
My grandma will be so
How
bad.
Can your fans find
Thank
where
you
you'll
so
be
much.
Performing in the next few months?
Yeah, social media. So what you guys are holding in your hand, everyone's looking at it, not knowing what to do with it. It looks like a business card. But if you put your thumb at the bottom of the city and push, you'll see it folds out into a USB stick. And
what?
That's where our music lives.
Wait a minute, what do I do with my thumb?
So the bottom of the city, the part with the little groove in it, push. So yeah, you'll push down here.
Just give me a tutorial. Oh, damn, okay. This is slick. This is
gosh.
So fucking slick.
It's a self-titled, this first
Did
one.
Did you think of this yourself?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't do it.
Okay. We are speechless in wonderment.
I am sad that nobody can see this. I think you're going to have to put up a video to show people these.
Wow.
Well, they're limited supply right now. I haven't even put them online. I kind of just wanted just to give them to people for the first run.
Much. You just want to watch people's faces
because
they're puzzled and amazed.
This is beyond the realms of science. I got it.
Molly!
Wow, that's cool.
Wow.
So yeah, we just put those out in November, and we're finishing up the second EP now too, and you know we have other music projects as well. So. As much as we love the performing, which I mean we still do, producing is a lot of fun and it's really hard. Writing music's a lot harder than playing shows.
It definitely is.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear about your collaboration with the Pittsburgh Orchestra?
Oh, Chamber Music Pittsburgh. That was last fall, but two 2 years ago now. Wow.
I broke mine.
We collaborated with...
No!
This is why I can't have anything.
That's why we can't have nice things.
I know.
Some friends of ours at Boom Concept, D.S. Kinzel, who runs that, it's an art gallery in Garfield in Pittsburgh. Chamber Music Pittsburgh reached out to him for an artist series, and they kind of described something they wanted to do that was along the lines of what Joe and I already do. So they just made that happen, and we played two or three shows with them. It was pretty cool to have a string quartet just right there at our disposal, making music with them at the same time.
Wow. That's awesome.
Wow. So you and JoJo, just through knowing each other for so long, would you say that you communicate with your minds?
Oh, I mean, yeah. It's definitely. We are definitely telepathic on that level while playing shows because what we're doing is live and improv.
They are.
We've played there was a while we were playing a gig a week for many years. So I mean, I think last time we put my CV together it was maybe 700 shows or something crazy like that. But we're definitely past that 10,000 hour mark that Malcolm Gladwell talks so much about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just easy. Like we just know how it's gonna flow. I know when he wants to scratch or we just know the appropriate time to drop lyrics to a song if that's where we're going or I don't know. It's just it's so hard to describe. It's just kind of a thing that we can just do and people comment on it. I used to think just. That our shows were kind of boring because we're just kind of standing behind these glowing tables with all our controllers and little machines and stuff. But people like to watch how, like, you can tell who's on lead, so to speak. Like, this guy goes back and forth, and just our body language and stuff, and I don't know.
Do you guys have, like, code signals when you're, like, ready to go, or it's just, like, two nods?
Or like, hey, where are you at? What's that at? Which is, like, what's the BPM? What's the key?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, just a lot of nods and stuff, or when something good happens, you're just like, yeah, that was good, and like, I know, or something.
Who inspired you to do this?
Man, that's like musically or in life or
no? Before you started in 2009, you had to be impressed with somebody.
So yeah, okay. While I was on the cruise ship, I was really thinking what I want to do artistically when I got off. One of the ideas that came about was putting music together in this way and having Joe scratch on it. But I didn't know anything about it. The lounge singer's boyfriend. Whose name was Scotty Spears.
Oh, such a good one. He said,
and this is like verbatim, he was like, hey, you don't have to remember my name, which his name is Scotty Spears, by the way. I believe he lives in New York. I'll never forget him. I owe him I have such a debt of gratitude for him. Scotty Spears was like, you don't have to remember my name, but remember I'm the guy that told you to check out Ableton Live, which is the audio software that we use. So then I just watched YouTube videos, not even knowing anything about it, just watching the video. And then, so as soon as I got home and bought my first MIDI controller, I just kind of hopped into it.
YouTube is so good because it's like you never need to read again, you know?
Yeah.
Like anything. It's like, how do I work this? Oh, YouTube.
It is great too because I like to visually learn things. I like to just
definitely
observe.
You know, it's such a crazy time. Like, I work with teenagers, and I'm surprised that they have questions about anything at all, because you can just reach in your pocket and look up any question you've ever wanted to know.
That's like, why do they even make manuals anymore? You know what I mean? Because, like, it could just be the guy that invented the software. Oh, this is how you do this. I have a YouTube video.
Yeah.
It's a superfluous waste of paper, you know?
So they could put all their legal jargon in it so that you can't sue them. That's why
probably,
still exist.
But anything you install now is the end user statement that no one reads.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, how fast can I scroll to the bottom and hit yes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and accept?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Great stuff. We're going to be right back after this. We're going to do a check-in with Bat Trish with the upcoming events and shows.
Hey guys, what's up? It is Bat Trish calling in to let you know what I'm doing this week and hoping maybe you guys will join me. So Wednesday, I'm going down to the Rivers Casino to check out Bob FM's final round of live band karaoke. I have been there the last 2 weeks. It is amazing. Rana Play is the band. All the contestants get to go up and sing their song, and I cannot wait to see who wins. Then Friday, 41 Tunes is shooting with Shadows of Corvus at the Smiling Moose. Also playing is The Invalid People, Panama, Steel City Ruins, and Grindstone 6. Saturday night, there's like 3 kick-ass shows. I'm not sure which one I should go to, but first up, Akativo, my friends Nevada Color, and Daily Grind are playing with Jacob Klein Band. Choice 2, 41 Tunes band Vertigo is playing at Mr. Small's with Being As Notion and Enter Shikari. I think that's how you say it. I don't know. They're really big at MySpace. So, yeah, those are 2 options. And then the third one, you know them. Everyone knows them. It is Green Day. They're going to be here in Pittsburgh at the Peterson Event Center. I kind of really want to go see them because, well, musical legends they are. I have never seen them before. But also my dudes, Nevada Color, Daily Grind, and Vertigo. I always have to go to their shows when I can. I don't know which one to pick from, but if you want to know more about any of those bands, look up 41 Tunes on justtrishsmith.com/41tunes and on my page, BatTrishCrazy, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, blah, 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 all those things. Anyways, I'll talk to you guys next week. So, Lil Bat out.
Plaza Podcast 303 East Main Street right here in Carnegie from Sound Color Studios. With us, again, is Jenna Sivak, comedian, and just all-around great individual.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think that's the fourth time anybody's told me that, so I appreciate that.
Those two words, great individual.
Yeah.
This morning.
No.
I just thought that was the most politically correct thing to say.
Yeah, that was nice.
Great individual.
Good, uh-huh. You're learning, Adam.
Yeah, I am. I am.
This ain't the 1880s anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the History Channel. They brainwash me, you know?
Do you find that being a woman in comedy presents any opportunities or challenges?
Just being a woman in general right now, I think, presents some challenges.
Sure.
But no, I think there's definitely opportunities because you are probably a big fish in a small pond.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have some more opportunities to jump into things because there's just not as many women in comedy.
I stopped going to shows. Like, I would, you know, we get invited to so many comedy shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will look and be like, oh, Ian, Tom, Ian, Ian. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Why would I go to see something that I've already seen a thousand times? And I think it's interesting that men... those male comedians take it so personally, but they don't realize that they need to step up their game if they're gonna keep trying to play like that.
And I've gone to mics that, like, for the past couple of years, and I've seen...
Open mics.
Yeah, I've seen people doing the same sets
mm-hmm.
for the past 2 years, not changing anything, not
I've seen that.
It.
I've seen that.
Yeah, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, are you just here to hang out, or are you not trying to get better at your craft?
Well, do you think that people are using it as almost like a therapy? Like, those are the same stuck points that they're still lingering on?
I think people romanticize the idea of being able to say, I do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually very brutal on yourself because you... can have horrible, horrible sets that send you into, like, days of hating yourself, you know?
With any type of expression, it sometimes feels like that. How do you cope with it?
Vodka sometimes.
There you go.
And an Epsom salt bath.
Mm-hmm.
And then I usually just get the fuck over it and start working on something new and know that... it's over and there's nothing I can do about it.
That's healthy.
Yeah, I
can relate up to that a lot.
Yeah, see? Like,
I wouldn't wish a creative brain on my worst enemy.
I know.
Yes. Right? What do you think? So, we all have had failures on stage. That's...
Speak for yourself.
Well, it's the only way to learn, though, right?
It is. So, I have grown to respect them and appreciate them because they make you... get better
mm-hmm.
because you're like, I don't ever want to fucking feel like this again, so I gotta change this and make it really good. Or just it also makes you be nicer to yourself because you're like, I am a human that's doing the best I can, and everything's not gonna be great all the time. So
yeah, absolutely. Does comedy help you deal with life stuff?
Oh, for sure. I love comedy because I feel like it's the most genuine connection that you can make with somebody, like, by making them laugh.
Wow.
Just, it's, like, the most natural thing. And it's, like, an honor to be able to make somebody laugh and feel good for whatever time they see you or spend at the show.
That's beautiful. Do you recall, like, did you have a one moment that you can... recount for our listeners that took you to that, like, proud, beautiful place on stage?
Well, I grew up with very funny people. My grandfather was very funny. He was so goofy. He would do anything to make somebody laugh or to brighten up their day. So I just always felt that, like, even just in conversations with people before I started doing comedy, I loved to make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got on stage, and I can remember, like, the first time somebody laughed really hard or came up to me, and it's like a drug where you're, like, addicted to, like, I want to put that out to more people, like, because it makes me feel good that I am sharing something positive with other people.
No, not to backtrack, but I want to talk about, like, the guys that are doing the same set forever and ever again. Like, is that because, like, they have it memorized and it's just comfortable for them?
They don't have it memorized. They still take a fucking notebook up on stage.
Oh, yes. That is whack.
Yeah,
that really is.
So, that's just bad performance. I really take issue with anyone who doesn't take care of the audience. Mm-hmm. And when you're taking a notebook on stage and you're nervous, you're not taking care of the audience, because no one wants to look at you and feel that, and you're forcing them to look at you and feel that.
Right. I understand if you are trying your new stuff out.
And, sure.
You know, you need to practice.
On stage instead of at home where you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Sure, that's fine.
Well, for the open mics, I get it. But if I go to shows and I see people with their notebooks, I'm like, you don't care enough.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like, you don't care enough.
It's like rappers that will rap over their lyrics while performing.
Yeah.
It's like to just play over an instrumental or have someone play an instrument.
It's like,
yeah.
Dude, make an effort.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Make an effort.
Especially when there are people like Jordan that and Jenna that are so talented, and you are bringing it and you do your best and you're putting so much effort forth, to see other people that aren't getting stage time, it's maddening. Mm-hmm. It truly puts me into a rage spiral. Mm-hmm. And that's something it's interesting, because the men that aren't as talented, they often get the shows or get to produce a show simply because they are friends of the people in power.
Or they've been around for so long, they just won't go away.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
What's that sound like, Michael? What's
yeah.
that sound like?
Stereotype?
Yeah.
Does it sound like the military?
Yeah.
It sounds
that's
like
what
the military.
I was getting at.
Yeah, the military.
They just won't go, people who won't go away get to become captain.
Oh, always. Yes. When you had a bad performance one night and you used the same material, we'll say, the next night at a different place, did this second audience, the second night, did they laugh? The first audience didn't laugh, and the second night, the second audience laughed at what you had?
Oh, there's definitely been times where things hit in better rooms. But if I have a really bad time, then I usually try to polish it or change it or scrap it, depending on how bad the bomb was.
See, if I was in that same situation, and I'm not, no, mm-hmm. I never will be, but if I knew that the audience wasn't getting it right away, I would somehow find a way to seep in laughing gas into the theater. And then, like, somebody said, record now, start recording now. Where everybody's just insanely laughing, and you haven't even said anything.
Yeah, how do you find a way to seep in laughing gas to your shows?
I usually just bring a super soaker, and you just let it rip.
You know, level the playing field a little
you
bit.
Just
you know?
Shoot your audience.
Yes.
Do you find with stand-up that, like, why would someone go to a comedy show if they don't want to laugh? Like, why do you think that people don't laugh?
Oh, there's a lot of people that are like, they'll come in, they'll sit down. You can't make me laugh.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's a challenge.
Yeah.
I dare you.
Yeah.
You're not even funny. I can do better.
That's a special challenge of stand-up.
Yeah.
Because you've done improv and, like, other types of comedy, too. And, stand-up has that adversarial feel about it sometimes.
You have to be in control, but you also read your audience. So, like, there are times if I am having a bad set where becoming vulnerable actually wins the audience
mm-hmm.
back over.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Kind of brings in that human element where they're like, okay, she's struggling, but she's grinding through it right now.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I think what's awesome is, well, not awesome, but what's different about that is, like, there is no, like, safety net, you know what I mean?
No.
Like, for instance, like, I'm, you know, when I do songs with Wyatt Riot, so we're doing a live show and we have a new song that we're going to try out, it's okay because it's a new song, so no one's heard it. So if we mess up, no one knows. And I could just be up there going, beep, blah, 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 and mm-hmm. it wouldn't matter. And everybody's like, yes, this is great. Like, I don't even have words.
Yeah.
You know? And then there's music to back it up. And if you jump around and do scissor kicks, no one cares because
yeah.
you're engaging.
Exactly.
But with comedy, it's just you standing there, you know, talking.
There's a lot that goes into the presence of even standing there, though. How you come on stage is your so energy. Important. Yes. Yeah. Would you, like, if for someone who's just starting out or thinking about going to some open mics this month, do you have any sage words of advice from you or your grandmother?
Oh, do you want to go to what?
Well, from my grandma, her trademark is, she always just says, don't you take no bullshit. Don't you take no bullshit. Yeah.
Yes.
That's all she ever says. But I would say to just be a little bit nicer to yourself. You know, you're not going to go on stage and be amazing the first time. Or maybe you are, and fuck you. You know, but it's a process, it's a craft, it's a practice. You're constantly working. You're never going to get to a point where you are like, okay, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I got this. I figured it out. You're going to have to be comfortable with always working on it and always refining it, and which is makes it great because you can never get complacent and stagnant unless you want to do the same set for 3 years with your notebook.
And if you do, we're going to talk shit on you on a podcast.
Well, didn't we just talk about this? Bastard.
It's okay.
I mean, you're so kind.
Well, and there are a lot of people that I see, you know, that just, it is like their place to hang out.
Right.
And like, they're okay with that. They see it as a friendship thing, like, because you do become... Mm-hmm. You become
close. It's like a gym in a sense. You know, some people are there to, like, be bodybuilders. Some people are there to just lose a couple pounds. Some people are just there because...
I don't have anything else to do.
Some people just hang out at the juice bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just have the gym bag. Nothing's in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just there to hang out. Loving that. Love those people.
Some guys is always working on the same set. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was this guy, totally unrelated. I can't remember what gym it was, but he would... sit very close to the mirror, and he would make these weird noises, and I was, like, so intrigued, like, what is he doing? And he would do this curl where he would do a bicep curl, and he would look at himself in the mirror, and with each curl, he'd go, yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
He loves himself.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I want to have that confidence someday. I want that.
But he's
have you seen those dope bags?
Yeah.
Like, go about your day in the confidence of a mediocre white man
with a truck.
Was it a 5-pound dumbbell?
It was something like that, but it was so creepy because he would whisper it like, ooh, yes. Like,
I don't know anything about that man, but I'm sure his favorite movie is American Psycho.
I'm certain. I'm fairly certain it was.
What was our age level that we were working with this guy?
I'm bad at guessing ages, but I would say he was 40-something.
Okay.
He's been at it for
a
while.
That makes it a little more creepy.
Yeah. Yes.
The 40s are the creepiest decade. Yeah.
It's when you're having, you're like, what did I do with my life?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, that's when you start going to the gym.
Back in the saddle.
Yeah. Back in the saddle.
I gotta get better. I'm not younger anymore.
Oh, man.
Loving it.
That's real. I'm never gonna make, like, I can't talk on that because getting a little older has been, like, weird to me.
Yeah. In what way?
Oh, I mean, not like getting back. Oh, you know, just like... stuff where it's like, I'm at my computer, and I turned my head, and I was like, oh, my back is completely destroyed now because I turned my head. So then I'm close to my grandparents as well, and I talked to my grandma. She's like, oh, well, that's just going to start happening now.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing I can do about it or plan. It's just like, your body's going to just start falling apart right about now and will continue to fall apart for the next 50 years.
I am definitely with that. I'm like, I have parts of me that hurt constantly, and I'm like, all right, well, this is what this is now, and it's just going to get worse. Okay. So I'll just give it a name, you know? It's what it is.
Yes. You know? Wow. As the youngest person in the room, I am terrified. I'm not there.
I think,
y'all,
like, when
people.
You hit 30, like, every, like, injury you've ever had, like, whatever reason, that, like, maybe these dormant pain people have been living in your body, and then they wake up when you're 30.
Oh.
And they're like, go, get her, go, yes.
They move into the space that your metabolism used to live in.
Yes.
And that guy just leaves.
And then they camp out.
And they got the rent cheap. Yep. They got in there, right.
He's like, fuck the shit, we're out.
Oh my God.
I helped you long enough. You treated me like shit. I'm leaving, finally.
Oh, don't get hungover.
Yeah.
Don't drink like that anymore, because... I'll have a hangover to last like a week now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and the dormant people are like, sup, bro?
Yeah.
We're here now. We're running the show.
I think the celebrities that die at 27, I think they were on to something.
Oh, they know exactly what was up.
Yeah.
They were at a higher level.
Check, yeah, please.
Yeah. All right. Jenna, where can we find all your stuff?
Okay. I'm doing a lot of... Actually, the thing that I'm working on right now, which is the most exciting, is I'm doing the comedy stage for Art All Night in Lawrenceville. So we'll be getting that together. And performances of stand-up sketch and improv. And we're gonna just do comedy all night. Wow. And there's gonna be sweet art and music. We don't have a finalized date yet or a location because we always get that like a couple weeks before we put it together. And it's nuts how that just all comes together.
Like, I like that because it's like a surprise.
It's, you know, crazy though, like... A lot of, I mean, we do a build out in a lot of these warehouses. You know, we build up, I can't do any of that shit. These really talented people come in and like build these walls, and they're all volunteers, mm-hmm, from the community. And it all comes, it's such a beautiful process of like people just working together for the sake of putting out local art and music and comedy.
Nice.
And you are directing the comedy stage.
Yes.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah. So, everybody sign up.
Absolutely.
For a slot.
Jordan. Where can we find all your stuff?
We're Traxploitation with the CK, TRACKSPLOITATION. If you spell it with an X, that's a bike festival in Seattle. So
Still cool though. Not the right thing.
The people at Seattle's Bike Festival, if you're listening, Traxploitation would love to play for Traxploitation.
Yes.
So
There you go. There you go.
But all the usual spots on the internet, you would find anything. If you can spell our name right, you can find us.
Perfect. Michael, how do we beat our taxes on 1099 forms?
Yes.
You hired the best tax repair possible. You know, you negotiate a good fee for your tax repair.
How much should I negotiate down to? Because I want a good one. Where do I find this person? This is real talk. I need this.
Yeah.
You ask how much you charge to your taxes. And they always say a high figure, $700.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can pay you $200.
Ooh.
Then they'll say, okay, how about $300?
So if I have, say, just... hypothetically, if someone has, I don't know, 4 or 5 years of tax troubles from maybe not filing,
asking for a friend.
How much, I mean, on and on, intermittently filing, never owing more money, how much do you think they should charge?
Maybe $400.
Okay, great. Good.
And that wraps it up for this week's show. If you like what you heard and the intro and bumper music, always check out thewireriots.com. And be sure to check out our sponsors page to help keep this podcast afloat. Thanks so much to all our guests, and keep listening and sharing with a friend. And don't forget, you can check us out on all the podcasting-related media platforms such as Stitcher, Spreaker, and TuneIn, and so many more. We'll see you next time right here on the Steel Plaza Podcast.